Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Off and rolling, new week, Monday, May 19, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That's Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning929. Connor, how was your weekend? How are you?
Great weekend. How are you?
I'm making it. I'm a little, I'm less tired than I thought I would be coming out of this weekend. For those that don't know, I was down at Pickwick for a friend's 30th birthday party. Been a friend for a while. And she decided, and I guess somebody else decided for her who planned the whole event, that we were going to do a beer Olympics with a bunch of people that were 30-plus years of age. I can say this. I'm not 21 anymore. I can't do it, Connor. I cannot do it. It's not possible. I was in bed on Saturday at 9 p.m., slept, drove home. Simple drive, I guess, in the morning, although I was moving a little bit slow. Had to have the sunglasses. It was a sunglasses day just about the entire day. But, yeah, it's not possible anymore. We got there, played a couple of games on Friday night. We woke up in the morning around 9, played a couple of games, got on a boat from about 12 to 6. Then we ate dinner, and just watching everybody immediately yawn almost simultaneously after we ate dinner, I sort of knew what was up. Everybody was on the same page. It doesn't happen for us anymore.
No.
It's not possible.
No.
I knew that going into the weekend. I think most people learn, though.
I think Jeffrey has described it very well. I think that he's been talking about like going to bachelor parties in your 30s now or going to Vegas where the first night, everybody arrives.
High hopes.
There's an energy in the building and within the friend group of, we can do this.
Yes.
Still can do this. We can turn back the clock.
Right.
And for one night, you feel like you're in your 20s again. You're going hard. You're not paying for insurance yet. It feels great. The next day, life punches you in the face and then curb stomps you and then throws you out into the water.
8 hours later, you realize all those thoughts we had last night of being able to get this done, they're out the window.
And
I am surviving today. I'm not thriving today.
For some people, those that stay up later, that realization hits before you go to sleep.
Right.
There's a sweet spot that's like 3 to 5 hours after you arrive. That's the golden zone.
Yeah.
That for three or five hours after you've arrived, you're drinking a little bit, you're like, this is the peak of life.
Yes.
And then you stay up a little bit too long.
Yes.
And all of a sudden.
And then you have to go get the Prilosec to make sure the acid reflux doesn't hit you too hard.
Yeah. That headache starts creeping in.
You have to make sure the Aleve bottle's right there for you.
Your ears start ringing for no reason.
Yeah. It happens fast. The turnaround is far too quick.
And then all of a sudden you're in Vietnam.
Yes. You wake up and you hear, hello,
and
darkness,
then,
my old friend.
The next day, if somebody looked at me and said, we're going on a boat, I would have been like, no, we're not. Trying to be on a boat hungover is a whole different thing.
This was a sizable boat, very nice boat. Shout out to my guy who allowed all of us idiots to use it. I stayed in the shade all day and laid down the whole day, so I was safe. Seeing other people out there on the water with the with sunburns and everything else, I couldn't imagine being them.
Being hungover in hot weather on a boat is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Well, but the hot weather, as long as you're drinking water and you're getting some of that sweat out, it can be okay.
Mm-mm. I get overstimulated. No, no, thank you. No, thank you. Uh-uh.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, I guess I'm still on my road to recovery.
Yeah, you're in day two. You said you're in day two?
Yeah. It's usually a three-day thing. But I feel better than I expected to on this wonderful day.
It's because you used your brain and you didn't decide to go hard every single day.
I hope that everyone, by the way, with the storms yesterday, I hope everybody's okay. I know in Mississippi, there's a lot of people without power still, and there's a lot of downed lines out there. We had high winds and everything else. I lost power for briefly last night. Did you?
I did not.
Okay, you live close to me. I lost it briefly, just laid on my couch for 5 minutes. It came back on, so that's nice. But I hope everybody is braving those elements and what we saw last night relatively well. I know it was a scary situation. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We had a very fun weekend in sports. We have a Final Four in the NBA playoffs. More on that in just a moment. The WNBA, Connor, remember Friday, my two requests were stop the gatekeeping and stop pinning Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark against each other. Gatekeeping is there still, and we have more instances and another incident in the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese saga. So it picked up directly.
Requested nigh, Gabe Kuhn.
Yes.
Return to sender.
Yeah. They said that's not happening. That's what we're going to play to. And I think the WNBA is happy with that, weirdly enough. More on that at the bottom half of this hour. We did have a couple of game sevens over the weekend, and Sunday was rough. Sunday was rough for game sevens. Not a good one in the Nuggets Thunder series. And then did you see our poor Toronto Maple Leafs? Connor. That was painful. That was as painful as possible. And watching Brad Marchand have, like, he had 3 points. He was so good. Brad Marchand, if you know anything about him, former Boston Bruin, grade A-hole at times to other teams, big trash talker. To see him have that game against you in a game seven at home, you lose 6-1. Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have to wait another year.
They are finding new ways to lose.
Yes.
We talked about it on Friday. Maybe the most tortured fan base we have in sports. They are up there. They are certainly up there for tortured fan bases.
Yeah, so they won game six to just keep it going.
Right.
And you have all those fans like rallying around. Hell yeah, we're coming back home.
At home.
We have a chance to make this happen. You lose 6-1.
Mm-mm.
And I did look at this. They were outscored because they won 2-0 in game six to extend the series. They were outscored in the last four games of that series against the Florida Panthers 14-4.
Holy crap.
They won the first two games.
Oh, that's so bad.
Lost game three. Last four games, games 4-7, 14-4. They were outscored. Not fun. And they were 1-3. They were 1-3 in those games. Not great. Not great. We also had PGA Championship locked in. Scottie Scheffler. We'll talk about him a little bit later. He's unbelievable. And I think there's debates going about, he's 28, 29 years old. Where is he going to be by the time his career is over? At this pace that he's at right now, he could be one of the top 7 to 10 players of all time. And I don't think most people who watch golf would debate me on that fact, that projection. So there is that. All right, now we have 4 teams left in the NBA playoffs. And as I mentioned on Friday, a new era is here. You don't have Steph, you don't have Bron, you don't have Kawhi, you don't have KD, you don't have Giannis. They're all at home at the same time for the second straight year before the conference finals. It's a young man's game. a bunch of running. You have to stay healthy. You also have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at home, the whole Celtics team at home. So it's just every year is a changing of the guard. We are guaranteed, Connor, to have a seventh different champion in as many years in the National Basketball Association. OKC, also, zero championships. Timberwolves, zero championships. Indiana Pacers, zero championships. The Knicks have two, but the last one was in 1973. This is their first ticket punch to the Eastern Conference Finals since the year 2000. So we're going to witness a team winning a championship for the first time in a 52-year period. Now, why do we get those results? Well, one, I think the CBA, as oppressive as it is, and the tax aprons and how much money you have to pay on your luxury tax bill every year, and we can talk about good teams being punished for being good and paying their players. Like, that's what this CBA does. We can talk about all that, but what it set out to accomplish, Connor, it's achieving. It's achieving parity at the highest level we've ever seen in the NBA's history. There's only been one other time where we've had seven different champions in as many years. And I don't think the CBA doing what it's doing is by accident, by any stretch of the imagination. And we're also talking about some of the teams that bowed out early, the Cavs, the Celtics, the Warriors. We're talking about how much change is going to have to occur for them to get back to where they were this year. Jason Tatum with the Celtics and his injury, and the Cavs have so much money sort of moving around in that franchise. You have 3 years, $167 million left on a Darius Garland deal. That's going to inhibit them, tie their hands behind their back with what they can do going into the future. So, you know, it's interesting. Also, I think what we're seeing is teams with younger pieces, they're able to win the war of attrition. Now, part of me hates that, right? Part of me does not like that it feels like every year as we get into the NBA playoffs, who is going to be healthiest? I mean, the last 10 years, the last decade, Connor, we've talked about this on multiple occasions. If you just look at the teams who have the most healthy roster, who haven't had any guys banged up, who haven't had any guys who miss any games, those are the teams that last into the conference finals, into the NBA finals. I hate that that is the case, but also it's something we've been dealing with for 10 to 15 years now. So I've sort of gotten used to that idea. It may be a little bit too out there because we had the Celtics this year and we thought that they were the favorite to win the NBA Finals. You have the Jason Tatum injury, everything implodes right in front of their face, and they get hammered in Game 6, get knocked out of the playoffs. But, you know, I don't like that, but I've gotten used to it. I want to pose this question, though, considering the amount of parity we're seeing and, you know, in the past, what we've talked about when it comes to legacy and players winning championships and how many do they have to win to be considered one of the top 10 best players of all time and be in that you know, grand Hall of Fame. People are always going to talk about these guys' legacies and what they were able to do in the NBA. Are we gone? Are the days gone from us where we're worried about winning multiple 3, 4, 5, 6 championships? Are the days where only one championship inhibits you from being in those conversations, are those gone? I guess the question I want to pose here to you, Connor, and then we'll discuss it, how much does one title in this day and age mean as compared to years past? With the parity we've seen, seven different champions in as many years, how much does one title, the Jokic title, the Giannis title, how much do those mean in the grand scheme of their legacy and the NBA's history? Because the more and more I see, year after year, different teams there, the amount of parity, the more I start looking fonder and fonder on the Jokic championship, the Giannis championship, the Dirk championship back in the day. Just feels like we've gotten to this point where one championship is about all these guys can accomplish until they switch teams and go somewhere else and try to find a new landing spot. But how much does one championship mean in this day and age as compared to the past?
I think they mean a lot. And honestly, championship discussion in the NBA when it comes to legacy, I think matters for guys like LeBron and KD and Steph still. It feels like outside of maybe that group of guys, as long as you have one, that's what's important. Because KD, Steph, and LeBron are they're in a bit of a different stratosphere.
Sure.
When we talk about NBA discourse, they are talking, you know, LeBron is in the conversation for the greatest player of all time. KD and Steph are trying to make cases to be in the top 10. I think to be in the top 10, that's where the conversation about how many championships do you have might come up a little bit, because you do have such an impact on that, because it's only a five-player. It's a team sport, but you can have such a big impact as one player on a five-man lineup. In today's NBA, the way I view it, if you have a championship, you're bona fide.
Yeah,
and
you're
you are in the conversation now of about, okay, you can be in a conversation for all-time player now. And I do think it's a little bit different, because I understand that, you know, Charles Barkley didn't get one, but he's still in conversations for all time. But there is a ceiling on how we talk about a guy like Charles Barkley. Now you have to add the context of he was playing in Jordan's era. Nobody was really winning in Jordan's era outside of those 6 years. So when Jordan was at his peak with those teams, you weren't going to win a championship. When he wasn't playing and before he got Scottie Pippen, you had a shot. But that was basically when you needed to get those championships.
Before Phil Jackson became the coach and all that.
Right.
You
basically,
had to take advantage then. When the Pistons were taking advantage.
Exactly. When the Pistons were taking advantage, or the Lakers were taking advantage still. So, you know, you had opportunities. But I think the way I view it now is, like, Jokic and Giannis, for example, they are now able to be in discussions of all-time greats. They are now to be able to be in discussions of, could they potentially be a top 20 player of all time? If you get a second championship, then I think it really vaults you forward. But they could creep into a top 10 because they already have that championship. They've already been christened one of the best players in NBA history because you got that title. You were able to do it. You were able to get your team to the promised land. It is really hard to win an NBA championship. It is really hard to stay healthy. And like you said, the new CBA has changed how teams are constructed. Some teams only get like 2 years of a real window,
yes.
2 or 3 years.
Correct.
Maybe. Some teams get 1 year. Go ask the Toronto Raptors. They had 1 year to be like, we're pushing all of our chips in this season.
To be completely honest, look at the Denver Nuggets right now.
Right. Go look at the Nuggets right now. The decisions that they had to make after they won their championship. They let a lot of guys walk. Three guys off the top of my head.
Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, KCP.
KCP. Like, if they had those three players right now, they may have beaten the Thunder. Like, if they have a little bit more depth, a little bit more defense, a little bit more shooting, they may have been able to beat them. So I think that winning one is a big deal now. It allows you to be in conversations of all-time great territory. It really does. And that's, you know, like I said, KD, Steph, LeBron, I think they're in a different conversation, because those are like truly pantheon. Is Steph a top 10 player? Yes. Is LeBron maybe the greatest ever? Is KD a top 10 player? Like, those are the conversations that those guys are in. So having multiple matters a little bit more for them. But for, like, Jokic and Giannis to already have one at this point in their career is a huge deal.
And if they don't get another one, can we hold it against them like we've held it against other guys in the past, only having one championship? That's the question I have, because I don't think we can. Look at Jokic. Once the Nuggets won their championship, KCP, Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, all gone. Then you still try to find ways around the roster. You draft Christian Brown. He plays well for you. You bring in Aaron Gordon. You give Michael Porter Jr. this big contract. But look at this offseason for the Denver Nuggets. They're going to have to find other ways to manipulate the cap and manipulate their roster situation. Michael Porter Jr. is on a $180 million contract. He was horrible in the playoffs. Granted, it was an injury going on, but I still don't think he's worth the contract he's getting right this second. I saw Bobby Marks talk about it as soon as an ESPN NBA insider, that's who he is. He was talking about the Nuggets situation, their cap situation, and Christian Brown he's a restricted free agent, and they're going to have to figure out a contract extension for him. He said he is probably worth, based on the output he has had as a player, probably in the $30 million per year range. The Nuggets can't afford that unless they make some moves and move off Michael Porter Jr. and find a way to make some of their contracts cheaper, whether it be Jamal Murray or Aaron Gordon. The days of being able to stack top talent like the Warriors did back in the day with Kevin Durant and Klay and Dre and Steph Curry, the day of being able to do that year over year over year and not face the harshest of harsh penalties, that's over. So these teams that win championships, you're seeing them win championships, and then that window, you have to realize that window is going to close just as fast as it opened. So I just look at that, the way we have viewed championships in the past in the NBA, to get into that pantheon, to get into that top 10, top 15 range, you usually have to have multiple. I don't think for the players we're seeing today, I don't think we need to hold them to that same standard while this CBA is still intact. Now, I think they have an out that they can get into with that current CBA in 2028. They can decide to do that, and they can go back to the way things were. I don't know if Adam Silver and the NBA higher-ups are going to want that because they've worked for this parity so long. They're going to want to try to keep this whole thing intact.
It depends on who starts winning the championships.
But at the same time, I don't think we can hold the players of this era to the same standard we held the players of the last era with. The guys that are phasing out of the game. To get multiple championships right now is right there next to impossible. And we have seen it the last 7 years.
It's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. And I think with Giannis and Jokic specifically, them having MVPs also helps.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
they're in conversations because not only do they have championships, but they have individual accomplishments as well. And that's why they're going to be in certain conversations as their careers go on. They've already established themselves as, to be honest, legendary players. We'll be talking about Giannis and Jokic for the rest of our lives, and we probably should be. They are two of the best players we've ever seen in the NBA, period. Full stop, 100%. Two of the best guys we have ever seen. If they get multiple championships, if one of them gets two, then conversations are going to get really interesting. But them having a title, having MVPs, that absolutely matters.
Yeah. Now, looking at our matchups in the conference finals, we have Thunder versus Wolves. I like that series, but I also looking at Vegas, I think Vegas is right. Vegas has the Thunder as pretty overwhelming favorites in this series. So I want to really focus on the one in the Eastern Conference. Knicks versus Pacers. This could be an all-timer. This is a very, very good one because the contrasting styles is what I want to pay attention to. The Pacers can get up and down the floor, play the possession game. They're deep. They're about nine guys deep. Where the Knicks play about six guys, they try to own in the half court. They try to be efficient with their offensive possessions. I wonder which style is going to prevail on a large scale. We know a seven-game series with only one or two games of days of rest in between certainly would favor a team like the Pacers with how good they are, how much different they play. But this one's going to be really fun, and I also think we've seen the two best clutch performers in the playoffs. We're going to see those two guys in this series, in Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson. But I'm very much looking forward to this Eastern Conference Finals.
I can't wait because you have so much history here. You have Reggie Miller calling the games, which is going to be fantastic. You have the Knicks and Pacers rivalry.
It'll be fantastic because it's his team, and he had
I'm just going to be honest,
Reggie does have a tendency to just blab.
He just blabs. It's the same thing
we've
been here forever. But it's going to be kind of fun having him call these games. Timothy Chalamet feels like he's beginning to take the mantle as new most famous Knicks fan. He's going to be in the building for all the celebrities are going to be there. And like you said, you have two contrasting styles. One team is going to try to slow it down and be extremely physical, and the other is going to try to run the entire time. This is the series I'm looking forward to the most. Again, my heart wants the Knicks to win this series. I think the Pacers are going to give them a huge punch. I hope we get six or seven games out of this because, you know, I think that the Western Conference has a lot of intrigue, but you kind of expect the Thunder to win because they are favorited. They should win this series. You have Anthony Edwards. You have the star power there. If the Thunder win, it's going to just, to be honest, it's not very exciting. You want the Timberwolves to win from an excitement standpoint. But this series, I really do believe we might get an all-time series because both of these teams go until that final buzzer. They both can come back at any moment. They can score very quickly. They've
mounted 20-point comebacks on multiple occasions each.
Both of these teams seem to peak a lot of times in the fourth quarter, and that can lead to a lot of incredible, incredible basketball games. I can't wait for this series to begin. Truly can't wait.
Yeah. On the Thunder Timberwolves series, tell me if my thought is incorrect here. We know what the Thunder are going to have to control about the Timberwolves. It's size, it's physicality. You got Naz Reid, you have Rudy Gobert, you have Julius Randle. Julius Randle's been phenomenal. 24 points per game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists in this playoff run, best playoff basketball we've seen him ever play in his entire career. But what you're going to have to control is the physicality and the size of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just watched the Thunder. It took a while. It took seven games. But if you're talking about controlling physicality and size, I think they just had the biggest test they're going to have in that particular realm that they'll ever have against Nikola Jokic. And I thought they did a really good job. There's a bunch of different adjustments throughout that series. Mark Daigneault did a good job. At points, it was Jalen Williams taking the lead to try to deal with Jokic. By game seven, we saw Alex Caruso. Let's stick a small guy on there so we can use physicality that's not able to use with a guy who's 6'10 or above.
Uh-huh.
You know, and maybe it's a bit of a cheat code, but like the adjustments they made to deal with the physicality and size of that Nuggets team and of Nikola Jokic, I feel like was just a perfect test heading into this series against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think so too. And the big difference is that Minnesota's not going to be running things through their bigs.
Right.
They're going to be running them still through Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards, and every once in a while they'll run things through Julius Randle. But it's not the same as Jokic. He doesn't slow the game down. He's not controlling every single aspect of it like Jokic is. So, yeah, he was a great test heading into this series, I think, for the Thunder. And we can talk about it. The Caruso on Jokic thing worked. Now, it did work because NBA referees tend to allow.
Can I be honest? Everyone wants to make it an NBA thing. This is every form of basketball ever. When I was playing little league basketball, when I was at 12 or under, but I know you get what I'm saying. But when it's just always like that. When you have a big guy and a small guy, the small guy can get away with hacking and slapping your wrists and playing with physicality more than a big guy can.
It is funny because a few times during the game, they would be like, "Look at this incredible defense," and then it would just be like, "There are five fouls right there." He's literally grabbing his legs and wrapping around him, and they're like, "Oh, look at this box," and it's like, "That's a foul." If Jokic did that to Caruso, they put him in prison.
Yes.
Like, so
he would have had two flagrants.
So,
custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It is true that it was a bit of a hack because they understood if we put Caruso on Jokic, he's going to be able to get away with some things that Hartenstein couldn't, that Chet couldn't, that Jalen Williams wouldn't be able to get away with because of their size. So it was a brilliant call by them, and I'm not going to blame the Thunder for referees being bad.
Yeah.
Like, the Thunder figured something out. They allowed it to happen. It had a huge impact on the game. There's no doubt about it. Huge impact on the game. But they were able to get away with it because the referees, for some reason, have this bias that, oh, well, a little guy can't foul a seven-footer for some reason. When it would have been interesting to see how fast Caruso would have actually fouled out if he had been called as if he was, you know, 6'8 instead of 6'4. But he wasn't.
But they found that. And they exposed it. They exploited it to their benefit. To your point, I understand how many fouls could have been called.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a brilliant strategy.
Well, I think we can also say this. They wouldn't have won that game anyway.
Right.
The Nuggets were going
to
win that game anyway.
It was 125-93.
The game massive. It wasn't because Caruso was getting away with fouls on Jokic.
It was also
because
Aaron Gordon couldn't
move. Aaron Gordon couldn't walk.
Jamal Murray shot 6-for-16.
Yes.
Michael Porter Jr. was awful this entire playoff run, but really bad in game 7 against the Thunder.
Yep.
So there was a lot of reasons they were going to lose that game, but I thought that strategy in particular to limit Jokic in game 7 was great because the one thing that you could hold out hope for if you're a Nuggets fan is, okay, what if Nikola goes for 50 and 25 and 10, you know? If you do what you did strategy-wise, throw Alex Caruso on there, you made that a moot point.
And I will say, the Nuggets in Game 7 is where you felt them not having a veteran seasoned coach. Because when the Thunder were making adjustments, the Nuggets never really did. Their whole adjustment throughout the playoffs was, well, Jokic can do Jokic things, and either Murray or Aaron Gordon are going to score 25-plus. And that was basically their entire strategy and win.
And down the stretch of that series, too, their adjustments were, okay, can we cross our fingers that Julian Strother is going to score 15 points?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what it became. Can we cross our fingers that Russell Westbrook is going to be efficient from the three-point line still? That's really what it became. Because Aaron Gordon wasn't himself. Michael Porter Jr. wasn't himself. Jamal Murray was so on and off.
It's like, okay, so Jokic, we understand that he wants to live in the paint. But the Thunder figured something out in putting Caruso on him down low. He was able to get away with hacking him a little bit more. Why did Jokic only take 2 threes during this game?
I don't know.
He's a 40% three-point shooter. The coach should have looked at Jokic and said, listen, man, I understand that you don't love taking threes, but you're really freaking good at it, so do it. Step out and start taking some threes. Let's get them out of the paint, try to open up some lanes for cutting, because they shut down the paint in yesterday's game, and they just continued to do the same thing over and over and over again every single time they went down the floor, and it just never worked.
Can I give you a reason maybe why you don't pull Jokic aside to do that? Because Jokic is a good three-point shooter. I'll give him credit. But he doesn't do it with volume, necessarily.
He has.
At points.
That's what I mean.
It's not very
game
common.
Game 7, let's figure it out.
I think the most threes he took in a game this series was 10.
7. It's 10.
In that game, what was he, 0 for 10?
He
was 0 for 10.
But he went 5 for 7 in game 5.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but like Nikola Jokic is very good from the three-point line as long as it's not being covered as much and he doesn't shoot with as much volume. That seems to be sort of how I feel about it when I watch Nikola Jokic shoot the three ball. It's like he doesn't really do it with volume, but he does it at a high clip.
I'm just saying, game 7, pull out all your everything
you
got.
Whatever you think is going to get you over the top, go ahead.
The rest of the team was just kind of standing around the three-point line watching him not be able to get any motion in the paint because he was getting hacked the whole time. And then he would throw the ball out to one of the three-point shooters, and they would brick it. So maybe, just maybe, let's try to have our best shooter shoot.
What was kind of sad, too, is watching that first half. The guys that weren't injured as much as Aaron Gordon were having less of an impact on the game.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon was outscoring Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. in the first half.
There was a lot of
game,
just standing
move.
There and looking at
He genuinely couldn't move. And again, I tipped the cap for him even trying to give it a go. It's a game 7. You know, your season's on the line. He made sure, even though he probably should have been out for 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to have to rehab that hamstring. He made sure he was out there for his team. But that first half, when you saw him having more of an impact on the game than the guys that weren't injured, you just sort of felt, okay, this is over with. It's going to be really hard for the Nuggets, who even against the Clippers, just found a way time and time again. It just felt like, as I watched that game yesterday, it became clear to me very early, they're not going to be able to find a way today.
Gordon.
And by the way, Paycom Arena, loud as hell. The Thunder do a really good job. The Thunder fans do a good job.
They do, unfortunately. When Gordon isn't able to cut, the Nuggets offense looks a lot different.
Yes.
It looks a lot different because Jokic was catching the ball in the paint. He was trying to back down, and the rest of the guys were kind of just standing around the three-point line. Gordon's the only one that really likes to cut to the basket. Brown likes to sometimes.
Gordon's cutting to the basket, but looking like Kirk Gibson,
right,
doing his home run trot.
Exactly. But MPJ and Jamal Murray are going to stand around the three-point line. And it was just Jokic backing down. If he couldn't get anything, he'd throw the ball back out. They'd shoot a three and just rinse and repeat every single time down the floor. That's the entire offense of the Nuggets in Game 7, and it just wasn't going to work. And that's why I truly think that you felt not having Michael Malone in Game 7 in a big way, because he would have tried something. Something.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Now we have four teams fighting for a ring in the National Basketball Association. We're to the conference finals. You're not going to have to fight for a ring, though, coming up this weekend. This Saturday, May 24th, at Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins, they're having a six-hour 60% off sale. It's the real deal, a real 60% off sale. No marking up to mark down for 6 hours starting at 10 a.m. This Saturday, get 60% off anything in Robert Irwin Jewelers Showcase. They only have the sale one time every few years. The last time was in 2019. 60% off designer jewelry, 60% off what I was just talking about, engagement rings, 60% off bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, even name brand watches, 60% off. Over 1,000 items are going to be in the showcase. You're going to have a lot to choose from. There's always special financing available at RIJ, up to 6 months interest free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This Saturday, in store only at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Bridal on Perkins Extended across from Laurelwood Showroom. Sale in this Saturday is at 4 p.m. This is the last 6 hour 60% off sale of the year, so take advantage. For complete details, go online, rijewelers.com. All right, now the WNBA started up over the weekend, and let's just say we picked up right where we left off. I'll explain more on the other side. Over the weekend, I had a couple requests last Friday, and my two requests were, one, can we please stop the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark pitting against each other, this thought that we have to pick a side? I'll elaborate on that a little bit more. I wanted that to stop, and I also wanted the gatekeeping of a lot of old-school WNBA writers, WNBA followers, saying, well, you've just got involved since Caitlin Clark got into the league. I thought that's a stupid argument because Caitlin Clark is the most exciting player we've seen, really, in WNBA history, in all reality. I have the stats to back it up here in her short career. I'll get to those in a second. But I sort of got Dikembe Mutombo, right? Those got thrown directly back in my face after one game. But the game we were all paying attention to over the weekend in the WNBA was Chicago Sky and Angel Reese versus the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark. But it's not just Caitlin Clark anymore. I want to make clear, that Fever team, I think they were fourth shortest odds to win the WNBA title this year. I think they need to shoot up. After what I saw in game one, they won 93-58. They hammered the Sky. It was never close. It wasn't even a debate. In front of a sold-out crowd, that whole thing, it was phenomenal to watch. Aaliyah Boston, who had a really tough first quarter, had 19 points and 13 rebounds. She was great. But Caitlin Clark was the star of the show. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. She had a triple-double. She now has three career triple-doubles. She's the fastest player in WNBA history to reach three career triple-doubles. And get this, she tied Candace Parker for third most triple-doubles all time. And how many games has she played, Connor? Do you know off the top of your head? It's less than 50.
I don't know if...
41!
Yeah, it's been...
41 games! She's third all time in triple-doubles.
Yeah.
And she has led a Indiana Fever team who was at the bottom of the league 2 years ago to a playoff appearance and potentially a deep... We'll see what happens if she stays healthy, if the rest of that team stays healthy. It looks like she's poised to take this team to new heights that they've never seen this year. But in that game, for those that did not see, which I'm assuming most people saw what occurred, I think the Chicago Sky were down 12 at a point. Angel Reese pushes somebody in the back, gets a rebound, and then Caitlin Clark comes in and takes a take foul. It was a take foul. She didn't want Angel Reese to get an easy two. She didn't want her to get an and one, so she wrapped her up. Angel Reese fell on the ground. There was a little bit of push there from Caitlin Clark. There's no doubt about it. But Caitlin Clark explained it after the game, and Angel Reese came after her after she fell on the ground, and there was that little bit of a shove. Caitlin Clark explained it after the game as it was a take foul. It's what you do in basketball. If there's somebody who towers over you and is going to get an easy two, I'm not going to let them get an easy two. I'm going to make them earn that at a free throw line. And I totally understood that explanation. Was there a little bit of extra shoving going on? We can debate that all we want. It is what it is. I thought it was a take foul. Happens every day in NBA, college basketball, WNBA, women's college. It happens every day. High school basketball, it happens every single day. Now, with that, we picked up right where we left off last year, Connor. More debates raging on back and forth, telling people to pick a side between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And I'm going to make this easy for you, and you don't even have to try to misconstrue what I'm saying. If you're picking a side between these two people, between these two phenomenal young basketball players, I don't think there's any debate which side you should be picking in the grand scheme of things. You should pick the side of greatness. You should pick the side of the woman who's doing things that no one has ever seen before. You should pick the side of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is must-see TV. She has boosted the ratings by, 500,000 people per game, per TV set. She has boosted jersey sales by 141%. She has boosted merchandise sales in general by a similar amount. She's done things that we haven't seen, and she continues to do them. And there seems to be this overwhelming thought, Connor, and I don't understand why it's out there. It's very frustrating to me that you have to pick a side. And I just can't get there. I can't get there. But if you're going to pick a side, you're going to pick the side of who you think is going to be the absolute all-time great. Angel Reese is good. I'm not going to go after her too much. She's double-double machine, does some great things on the basketball floor. I don't like how the Chicago Sky were using her in this game. It's kind of ridiculous. They're now trying to let her handle the ball up the floor and set things up on the perimeter. Get her close to the basket. Let her be a back-to-the-basket big and get rebounds for you. There should be no debate as to how you're using her. But when you look at Angel Reese and what her sort of legacy and maybe comparison to an NBA player would be, I remember a guy by the name of Andre Drummond. You remember him? Multiple-time All-Star, really good player, never won a championship or anything, but he was a double-double machine. And he did things that we appreciated, but we knew there was a limit to what he was doing. He's not the most great or efficient offensive player. Can't really put the ball on the ground at a high level, can't shoot very well. I see Angel Reese in a very similar light. That does not mean she's a bad player, but it does mean there's a limit to what I view her as and what she can ultimately accomplish in the WNBA. When I look at Caitlin Clark, she's the female version of Steph Curry, guys. That's what she is. Shoots a higher percentage on more volume than we've ever seen in the WNBA's history. She gets her teammates involved at the highest level. The gravity she has when she's on the floor against another team in the WNBA, it's immeasurable. I mean, you literally, that's what it looks like out there. You have to cover her as soon as she crosses half court. There's a difference between these two players. So this whole pick a side thing, decide whose side you're going to be on, I find it to be a ridiculous thing that we continue to try to throw out there when they're not comparable. They're just not. And maybe Angel Reese can add some things to the bag and we could have a different discussion down the road with her career. But as of right now, if you're trying to debate greatness between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and you're picking the side of Angel Reese, you're fighting a losing battle that I don't think you're ever going to win. You don't even have to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm telling you straight up. There's a difference in what you're watching when you watch those two female ballers on the floor at the same time. Caitlin Clark has a level of greatness that we've never seen in the WNBA's career, or WNBA's history through 41 games. And Angel Reese, yeah, she's got the double-doubles. Yeah, she's got the counting stats. But it's just not even comparable when you watch them on the floor at the same time.
I think one of them impacts winning and the other one doesn't. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
If Angel Reese becomes an efficient scorer around the basket, maybe she'll begin impacting winning a little bit more. But one of the reasons she is a bit of a double-double machine is a lot of that comes off of getting her own missed layups.
Yeah,
that is just true. We've watched the games. We've seen the tape. She's a fantastic rebounder. She grabs a lot of boards anyway. She's out there. She's bigger than most people. She's good at defense. But a lot of her rebounds come off for missing point-blank layups. when she starts getting more efficient around the rim, then I think that she will move into a different tier of player. She is not in the same tier of player as Caitlin Clark.
It's not even close.
She's not.
It's not close.
She's not. And Caitlin Clark isn't the best player in the WNBA. That's not what we're saying. But through 41 games, the WNBA's never seen a player like this before. They've never seen somebody dropping triple-doubles like this, shooting like this. As soon as she crosses half court, she could score the basketball. Like you said, it's very much like Steph Curry. And you asked about the network impact, the attendance impact. I looked it up. You're breaking attendance records because of Caitlin Clark. You're breaking records. Networks like ESPN and ION saw a significant increase in viewership, with ESPN's WNBA viewership going up 170% last season. ION's went up 133%. Now, again, it's not just Caitlin Clark that has caused the rise of the WNBA and a little bit of a boom that they're having here, because even without Caitlin Clark in the playoffs last year, it went up 142%. But Caitlin Clark, there's no doubt about it, she has brought more eyeballs to the WNBA. Now, the good news is people are finding their teams, they're finding their players outside of Caitlin Clark to root for, but she has been the main draw of the WNBA for the last year. And it's okay to say that. And we don't have to pretend like there's some Magic and Bird rivalry happening between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
It was 93-58. It wasn't close. It's not even...
I don't like that comparison, because it's just not what's happening. They're not the same tier of player.
The Chicago Sky probably won't sniff a game near the WNBA Finals this year. The Fever, as long as they have health, and Caitlin Clark stays healthy, they will be in the conversation for that. It's not that. And I see that comparison, and I understand that it sells tickets, and I know that Kathy Engelbert, the WNBA commissioner, said that last year, and it was, you know, kind of weird in the context that, you know, she put it there, black player versus white player, creates ratings and all that. I don't really like that, but the truth of the matter is, Caitlin Clark right now, third all-time in triple-doubles through 41 games, fastest to that mark in WNBA history. She's second all-time in 20-point, 10-assist games, and she's played one game into her second season. Like, we can sit here and try to act like there's some grand conspiracy and there needs to be a picking sides. That's not what this is. She has revolutionized what the WNBA can accomplish as a league, what they can do for going forward with a TV deal and a TV contract and the TV revenue they bring in, how many new fans they're bringing in. She has put this whole thing into warp speed. And just because you acknowledge it does not mean you hate on another player. It just means you're acknowledging facts that are very apparent directly in front of your face. So I'm mad that we're one game into the season and we're immediately here, but I think there was no coincidence that the WNBA scheduled the Sky versus the Fever game.
No, not at all.
Not a coincidence.
They know it's going to get ratings.
They know what sells. It's unfortunate sort of why it sells. It's a lot of just nastiness back and forth.
But at the same time, we've
seen the NBA do things like this. All leagues do things like this to generate a dollar, to generate TV ratings, all that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of the draw of Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, whenever those teams match up, is because it is toxic.
Yes.
And we can't admit that some Fever fans and some Clark fans can wade into the waters of being racist and having
some
horrific things.
There was a situation after the game, by the way.
Denounce that.
Yes.
And I also want to make it clear.
And Caitlin Clark
has done that too. She doesn't need to do it after every game. Doesn't need to do it after every game. She fouled her hard. That isn't her endorsing it. There have been some insane takes. Listen.
And LeBron James tweets about how good Caitlin Clark is, and now he's public enemy number one to people.
Yeah. What do you want to tweet about somebody who shot, what, 4 for 15 from the field?
5 for 18, to be exact.
It was 5 for 14.
5 for 4. Okay, 12 points on 14 shots. Do you want him to endorse somebody who just lost 93-58 on national television?
It would be different if Asia Wilson was playing in the game,
sure,
or Kelsey Plume, who was amazing in their opening game for LA, and if he was completely ignoring those players, I think it'd be different. But I think we have got to acknowledge that Angel Reese is she's great at rebounding. She can't score. It's not the same.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
The impact on the game is not the same. Caitlin Clark's best attribute might be her passing.
The mental gymnastics that people have had to go through these past two seasons since both of these players have been in the WNBA to make this like a, you know, legacy versus legacy thing, it's just ridiculous to me. It's not close. It's not. And I fear that it'll never be very close. That's the honest truth.
I think it feels like taking crazy pills when you say Caitlin Clark is a better player and brings way more eyeballs to the WNBA than Angel Reese, and people try to project all these things onto you, and you're like, no, that's just what's happening. Sky aren't selling out games because of Angel Reese.
They've gone up for sure.
But go look at the attendance when it's just Angel Reese and then when Caitlin Clark comes to town. It's different.
There are facts. There are statistics. There are things that back up one side, the Caitlin Clark side. There are opinions and narratives backing up the other side when it comes to Angel Reese. And I'm tired of the constant pitting of the two against each other. Because also, in the process of doing that, you're really putting Angel Reese in the line of fire. Because she's not the same level of player.
Exactly.
And now she has to answer for Caitlin Clark's greatness every time she steps in front of a mic. You're doing a disservice to Angel Reese, the person you want to lift up.
Angel Reese is one of the reasons more people are watching the WNBA.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. Caitlin Clark is the reason.
Yes.
There's levels to it. There's levels to these things. There are. Like you said, it would be like somebody saying, I think that Jeff Teague said it. He was like, this sounds like Andre Drummond's mad that Steph Curry's getting attention.
Yes.
And that doesn't make much. Angel Reese is a great player in her own. She has to improve a lot if she wants to be better in the WNBA. If she wants to impact winning, learn how to make a layup.
Yeah, I'm just...
You are a reason. You bring people to the
WNBA.
You have star power. But when we are comparing it to Caitlin Clark, it's a different conversation.
Year one,
and that's okay.
Year one
there's
with these two in the league.
To stardom.
Here's how I view it. Year one with these two in the league, I think a lot of people that knew the truth tried to let the people on the sort of Angel Reese side of things down easy, right? It was like a little bit of lying, a little bit of not telling the full truth to make it a little easier to swallow for that side of the argument and the conversation. This year, I'm done with that. We need to be truth tellers. We need to tell it like it is. And I'm telling you like it is. This is not a debate. This is not a back and forth. This is not a legacy show. There's one side who's got already through 41 games a everlasting legacy of growing the league and getting stats that we have not seen through that period of time of 41 games. On the other side, you have someone who's a very good player. And that can be the case. That a very good player that also needs to improve on the offensive end. I'm just tired of the year one was letting people down easy. This year, you just got to tell the truth. You got to be honest with yourself. We all see the games. We all see the stats. We all see the everlasting impact of Caitlin Clark on merch sales and ticket sales. You just have to be honest about the situation.
I think Angel Reese will get to a level to where she could potentially impact winning and go into a different tier of stardom. But right now, last season, she shot 39% from the field.
And most of her shots are within three feet of the rim.
That's got to be better. Yeah. If you want to be in conversations about the true stars of the WNBA, she has the reputation of a star, but not the production.
Right.
The production has to match the reputation.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark's reputation matches the production. That's the difference.
100%. 100%. All right, now hour number two is on the way. David Cobb joins on the other side from CBS Sports. Make sure you stick around.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.